Awesome. Well, this morning we are going to be in a bunch of different passages, so you can flip around in your Bibles a little bit. We're going to be mainly in Matthew 28, Luke 24, and Acts chapter 1. Last week we started a series that we're going to do on the mission of the church, and today that's kind of the focus. What is the mission of the church? And this is found, we have a responsive reading that we're going to do here. The mission of the church, it's our Confession of Faith Article 7 about the mission of God's church. And so we're going to do this, and then we'll pray, and we'll get into the Word this morning. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine so that all people may see it and praise your Father in heaven.
Sharing the good news with boldness, showing the good news with deeds of tenderless love. We are not ashamed of this good news. It is your power for salvation to everyone who believes.
All authority in heaven and on earth is given to our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, go and summon all nations to follow him, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all that he commanded.
Nations praise you, O God. Let all the nations praise you.
Spirit of God, fill us with power to be your witnesses.
Lord of the harvest, ambassadors for Christ, purify us and use us to proclaim his salvation. We commit ourselves to spread the good news of peace with God to those who are near and to those who are far off. Strengthen us to work with joy as we look forward to the day of harvest, when the redeemed will gather in God's presence to celebrate forever the boundless riches of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Lord, thank you that we can gather today. Lord, you have given us a mission. Your body has been sent, called forth, gathered together to be sent on the mission you have for us. And so, Lord, this morning as we consider the mission that you gave before your ascension, that you called us to be your witnesses, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Lord, that task is not finished. And so, Lord, fill us with a sense of urgency, fill us with a sense of purpose for your mission. In Jesus' name, amen. You want to turn your Bibles, turn first to Matthew 28 and 28 to 30. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. My fingers got messed up on my keyboard, so the next slide will be wrong. We are looking at, and for many of you, this will be review, but for some of you, this may be new, and for all of us, it's a need to renew our vision and our theological foundation for why the church exists, what our identity is, and what our function is in God's kingdom. And so in Matthew 28, these are the last three verses of Matthew's gospel, and he pulls this to a conclusion. It kind of reflects even Genesis 12, where God called Abraham to himself and said, leave your father and your country and go to the land I'll show you and I'll make you a blessing. And you must be a blessing to all nations, and all nations will find themselves blessed in and through you. And Matthew 28, 18 to 20 echoes this in many ways, because it's a call to take the good news of the gospel under the authority of Christ and with his presence to all nations so that they can find blessing in him. And so let's read Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Well, what we find outlined in here is three simple things, and we're going to look at this in each of the passages. So we're going to kind of go through these passages rather quickly, not so in depth, but we want to identify the main pieces of this and what it means for our mission today. We're going to come back to some of the hows we do this in the coming weeks. The how of discipleship, the how of baptism, the how of teaching people to obey, the how of evangelism, and so worship, discipleship, evangelism are going to be topics that we talk about in the next few weeks. But for now, we want to center on the why. Why can we have this mission? The first reason is that it is under and from and founded on the authority of Jesus Christ. All authority has been given to me. In heaven and on earth, that means Jesus is the King over all. This is the foundation for the commission, that Jesus is now King of kings, Lord of lords, and always will be. His authority is the foundation for the commission. There's the authority of Christ, then there is the command of Christ. If you've been around the church for a while, you know that the command is not to go, the command is not to baptize, the command is not to teach, the command is to make disciples, grow apprentices who will make disciples. An apprentice, you know, if you're in an apprenticeship, you don't just kind of learn some theory and then go and teach somebody else a theory. In apprenticeship, you have to work alongside somebody. You have to get your hands dirty. You have to, there's a journey to this, right? Like I noticed Luke Martin's got his journeyman certificate this last week. He's finished his school, and so he's been through 4 years of apprenticeship where he's worked and touched the cars and done the stuff and probably made mistakes and learned a whole lot along the way, but he's done it also in company with others. And this is what discipleship is. We're going to come back to this in a number of weeks, but the making disciples, this is the one command. The one command is to make disciples who will make disciples. Three ways we do that: by going, by baptizing, by teaching. Those are ongoing things. It's not just information only, but transformed lives of obedience. Teach them to obey everything. So this command of Christ is to walk alongside with people, in community with people, toward Jesus and learning how to live obedient lives along the way. That's what discipleship is. We'll talk about that more in a couple weeks. The authority of Christ is the foundation of our mission. The command of Christ is our marching orders. And the presence of Christ is the blessing we experience as we live out this commission. Behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. There's a command of Christ, the authority of Christ, the mission of Christ. I love this illustration that Francis Chan used, and I'm just kind of winging, I'm riffing off of it. I'm not quoting it. He used a different illustration, but if I tell my kids, please unload the dishwasher after dinner, what do I expect to happen? Dishwasher to be empty. If I came back a little while later and I found my kids with a bunch of their friends in the living room all gathered around with notebooks open, and I asked them, so what are you guys doing? We're conducting a study on empty the dishwasher. Like the first, the empty, we're wondering if that's a suggestion or a command. So we're looking into the original language for that. We're going to study that for the next few weeks. We've got an 8-week study on empty the dishwasher. And we're going to go through this study together. And one of our members, he's really good at music. So we got like, you know, oh Lord, the dishwasher is clean. And the cupboards are empty, oh, fill them again. And we've got this song, we've got 8 songs, and we're ready to record an album so that we can sing about emptying the dishwasher. Great. Is the dishwasher empty? No, it's still full because you're studying about how to do it and when to do it and what's the right time to do it. And is there a right way to do it? Or you know, I'm not sure I'm ready yet. I won't be terribly impressed if I come back and just see a grammar study, a lexical exploration, the history of dishwashers. Maybe we need to study that. You know, make sure we put this in proper historical context. No, I want the dishwasher empty. Jesus said, make disciples. Don't study it, just do it. If you've had an experience with Jesus Christ, then you pass that on. That's what this is about. This is our mission. He's called you to himself. Just call others to come with you and walk together towards Jesus. That's all he's asking. It doesn't have to be complicated. The authority of Christ and the presence of Christ are the foundation and the blessing that God promises for us as we follow him. This is our mission. Luke 24, 45 to 49. Luke's gospel has a commission too at near the end. So we'll look at this one briefly too. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And so again, we have an authoritative stance that starts this, the authority of revelation. Jesus starts and he says, all the scripture speaks about this. And he's not thinking about specific verses. He's not proof texting here. He is providing the first early church with the new interpretive lens through which to read their scriptures, which was the Old Testament, and it all centered around himself. This is the authority of revelation, the mission of God, which is found throughout the Old Testament to redeem a people for himself and thereby bring blessing and redemption to all nations. There is an international vision here. The word ethne, all nations, this was back in Matthew 28 as well, all nations, all people groups will come to experience who God is through the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Jesus leads us to read Scripture then through this interpretive lens that all Scripture is about him. It's not a proof text, it's the storyline of Scripture. The big story from creation to fall to recreation and renewal. It's an international vision. Jesus had to over and over help his disciples see that the vision of what the Messiah would accomplish was way bigger than what they thought, that it wasn't limited to the people of Israel in a geographical location. It was to be in all nations around the world, an international vision. And then again, there is the empowerment for mission. The mission must be Holy Spirit empowered. The Holy Spirit's power and presence is one of Luke's key themes. Now just think about this for a minute. Jesus has just opened their minds to understand Scripture so that they could see the centrality of Jesus from cover to cover. But he said it's not enough just to understand it. You have to be empowered to share it. And that empowerment you have to wait for. And it's going to come through the personal presence and power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do the mission based on information. This isn't about getting people to just know the Bible. It's to get people to know Jesus. Jesus himself said to the Pharisees, you search the scriptures because by them you think you have life, but you're reading it wrong. You have to come to me to have life. It's personal relationship. It's not informational. It's not necessarily, I'll use this word, but I don't mean it the way you probably want to take it. It's not about just getting your theology right. It's about getting a relationship with God right. Now, that requires right theology. But if it's all just about being right and having the right verses, then we're not coming to Jesus. The mission must be Holy Spirit empowered. Jesus said, wait until you receive power when I send the Holy Spirit. This is a key theme of Luke from cover to cover in Luke and Acts. You can think of it as Luke 1 and Luke 2, or 1 and 2 Luke. He repeats this again in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. Let's read that one, Acts 1, 6 to 8. So when they had come together, they asked, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Again, a lot we could unpack here, but first of all, the authority of the Father. The first thing they want to know is, are we going back to the way it was? And Jesus says, no, recalculate and recalibrate your expectations. You need to recalibrate your expectations. This is not a political movement. This is not a nationalistic movement. This is a global, international, interracial movement that you're going to be starting, and it's not going to be just sitting here in Jerusalem hoping for a kingship from which you can rule others, but it's you're going to go out and bring the people you think least deserve to be in the kingdom into the kingdom. They would have been fine with, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea. If Jesus would have only stopped there, they would have been, yes! But he drops Samaria in there. Samaritans, like, worse than dogs. Like, this is the people they don't want to reach out to. And we see that all through the Gospels. You see that all through history. It even goes back to the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. This is a people we don't want to share anything with. In fact, we destroyed their temple 200 years ago. How dare you say that we need to reach out to them? Jesus is saying this witness is going to be so deep that it's going to overcome your own prejudices. And that's what needs to happen. The presence of the Holy Spirit destroys the dividing walls of hostility between Jew and Gentile, Ephesians chapter 2. Destroys them utterly and pushes us into a mission that overcomes our prejudices. The authority of the Father was recalibrate your expectations. It's none of your business about the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. The presence of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and is going to empower you to take this message about me. You will be my witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth. It's not a mission that's humanly possible, nor does it depend on your resources. It depends on your obedience and the witness, the power of the Holy Spirit to witness to the Son. The word witness is martus or martyr. And outside of the New Testament, it can mean a legal witness to facts, direct personal knowledge of an event. If you're going to be a witness in a court case, you need to not just go by hearsay. You need a legitimate witness is somebody who has firsthand knowledge of the truth that they're talking about. And so Jesus is saying, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and that's going to propel you to be a witness to me everywhere you go. Luke 24, Acts 1, 8. Facts experience the truth of Jesus Christ. The authority of the Father, the presence of the Spirit, a witness to Jesus Christ. Notice in all of these passages, we have really a Trinitarian kind of thing going on. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ from the Father. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I will be with you always. Jesus is promising his presence in Matthew. Luke, when it talks about the presence that's going to be with the disciples, is in the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus gives, in Luke 24, authority of revelation, the word of God the Father through the Old Testament prophets, reinterpreted through the lens of Jesus Christ, the Son, and waiting for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that needs to come upon them. In Acts 1:8, the authority of the Father has set the dates and the times for this. The presence of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be witnesses to the person and the work of Jesus Christ. This is the mission of the church. This is everything about what we are to be about. If we combine these themes from Matthew and Luke and Acts, we see three things emerge here. The mission is enabled by the authority of Jesus Christ, Matthew 28, 18. It's enabled by the authority of Jesus Christ. We don't have the authority to set the agenda. Jesus has already done it. Go and make disciples. Be my witnesses. Tell the world about the redemption that is available in me. The mission is enabled by the authority of Jesus Christ. Second, the mission is empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Luke and Acts. Now, Jesus, again, he unpacked the scriptures for them, but they were still lacking something. He said, you need to wait for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. This is so key to the success of the mission. This is absolutely critical that you wait for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And we should not assume the presence of the Holy Spirit or presume upon the presence of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, continually be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians. Be not drunk with wine, but be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. We should be asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to fill us, to restore us, to renew us, to make us fruitful. The fruit of the Spirit is these growing character traits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the Spirit's work. We cannot grow them on our own. And we often teach them from a very moralistic, do better, try harder thing that always ends up in people just living really in the grip of shame. Because how often do we fail at goodness, kindness, gentleness, patience, self-control? These are the fruits of the Spirit. That doesn't mean we're not responsible for doing the work, but we have to realize that the fruit of the Spirit must come from the presence of the Spirit. Jesus calls us to a mission, but he also demonstrated what it was like to live it. This is why we need to be in the gospel so much. In the gospel of Luke, Jesus gets away often to pray. Jesus only goes into the desert after he has received the power of the Holy Spirit. He does battle with Satan after the presence of the Holy Spirit is upon him. He speaks as the Father leads him. John's gospel, the Son does nothing on his own. He only does what he sees his Father doing. I've completed the work you have given me, says Jesus in his high priestly prayer, and we'll get to this in a moment in John 17, to bring glory to you. His whole life was focused on this one thing, to bring glory to God the Father, to fulfill the mission he had. And so this is also the mission of the church, to bring glory to God, enabled by the authority of Jesus Christ, empowered by the real manifest presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and expanding that to a global family beyond where we're living for the glory of the Father. Millard Erickson in his Christian Theology says this about the mission of the church. The church was not brought into being by our Lord simply to exist as an end in itself. Rather, it was brought into being to fulfill the Lord's intention for it. It is to carry out the Lord's ministry in the world, to perpetuate what he did, and to do what he would do were he still here. 1 John chapter 2. Verses 3 to 6. What's the evidence that you know Jesus? John gives it to us right here. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly, the love of God is perfected. By this we may know we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Other translations, walk and live are kind of interchangeable English words, ought to live in the same way in which Jesus lived. Carrying out the Lord's ministry in the world to perpetuate what he did and to do what he would do if were he still here. I'm sending you out. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you, that you may bear much fruit. And this is to my Father's glory. And this is the primary goal. The primary goal and mission of the church is the glory of God. It was the goal of Jesus, first and foremost. John chapter 17, 1-5. And when he had spoken these words, he lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. Again, the authority of Christ, the giving of this glory from the Father. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. The primary goal of the life of Jesus Christ was to glorify God. Ephesians chapter 1, 5-6. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace. To the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. God has worked for our redemption so that his grace would be glorified and magnified and shown to the world. In him, verse 11 of Ephesians 1, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works out all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. This comes up over and over in Ephesians, the praise of his glory. This is for the glory of God. Everything is to the glory of God. In him, you also, verse 13, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And he, God the Father, raised us up with him, Jesus the Son, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that, this is the outcome, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. That the riches of his grace, the glory of his grace, would be known. Again, 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. For you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is the mission of the church, to exalt the glory of God. Stanley Granson, Theology for the People of God, says the church in all its expressions exists ultimately for the sake of the glory of God. This was the goal of Jesus in his life, and it is God's goal for his church. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are clear on your mission for us. That you have all authority in heaven and on earth. That you have won every victory that needs to be won. As we see in Ephesians, that all things are, in Colossians, all things have been put under your feet. You are Lord, you are King, you are sovereign over all of the universe. And therefore, this mission is assured for us. The success of this mission is guaranteed because you have all authority and you have called us into partnership with you to see this mission accomplished. And so, Lord, help us to go and make disciples, baptizing and teaching obedience, walking with one another as we walk towards obedience to Christ. And Lord, where we are lacking, may we wait on you for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us not to shut ourselves off to the personal presence of the Holy Spirit who guides us, who leads us, who equips us, who gifts us for service, who brings to our minds the things that you have taught, who convicts the world of sin and guilt and righteousness. Oh Lord, help us not to grieve your Holy Spirit, but to be filled with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, would you renew our urgency for the mission? Not just to get people into the church, but to get people to the glory of God, to be enamored, enraptured, so taken with the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that we wouldn't have to have an 8-week study on how to do this. We would just be overflowing with the joy of the Lord through the Holy Spirit's presence in us, and we would just radiate the welcome. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you have done. Holy Spirit, come. Take up residence in our hearts and lives in a new way, in a refreshing way, that we would be your witnesses in Grand Forks, the Boundary, in British Columbia, and to the ends of the world. May your mission be our mission, and may we never stop. Help us to see what the decisions we make today have for an impact for the generation ahead of us and the generation ahead of them and the generation ahead of them. Lord, help us to live your mission, empowered by your Spirit, under the authority of Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.